Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. Good to have you all with us. We are going to go to a different conversation now, and we're about to talk to May Bouvy, who is the executive director and co-founder of 350.org, and Marty Kobanes.
Kobanes.
Make sure I have that right. That's what I thought it was, so I'm double-checking. Indigenous Environmental Network pipeline campaigner from Bemidji, Minnesota. And Marty and May, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Hi.
Pleasure to have you both back. So let's talk about what happened in Arkansas. I mean, we've seen a little bit in the press, but it's really not being covered in real depth. May, that the oil spill that came out of the in Mayflower, Arkansas, that's directly linked to the kind of tar sands in Canada. Talk to us about what happened.
Well, you're exactly right that the spill in Arkansas is very connected to the work on tar sands and specifically the fight against the Keystone XL pipeline. And it really was a devastating spill. Exxon has still not disclosed how much spilled, although the Attorney General of Arkansas today has launched an investigation into what happened. So that is a good sign. And I've been hearing bits and pieces from people on the ground. Actually, my two aunts live not far from there and told me that they were near the spill and drove by it, and the smell was overpowering, and they've both been really active in the movement around Keystone, so they're outraged, and said a lot of people they're talking to are as well. So one thing that's, I think, really important for listeners to know is that the Pegasus pipeline, which is what ruptured in Arkansas, that transported about one-tenth of the oil that would flow through the proposed Keystone XL. So to have a bit of a visual, think of the pictures you're seeing in Arkansas, multiply that by 10, and then imagine it over the Ogallala Aquifer in Nebraska. So that would be a massive disaster in our nation's greatest source of fresh water.
And just one of the reports I read, just to put it out there, to understand what's going on in Arkansas, again, not being covered the way it should be, that at least a few days ago, it was supposed to be 12,000 barrels and growing, 504,000 gallons of this thick crude that exploded out into Arkansas from that pipeline. That's a lot of oil in a small area. And it's good to see. So your Arkansas relatives are out there fighting against the pipeline. Is that what you're saying, Mary?
That's right, yeah.
That's good. You've gone from good stock. So,
and tomorrow there's going to be a forum in Arkansas for concerned residents of people. So, you know, there's lots of opportunities for people to get involved for sure.
And Marty, I was talk about the connection between the battle against the pipeline in Canada and here and what happened in Arkansas.
Well, obviously it's tar sands oil, and it's the same sludgy oil or bitumen, what we call it and what the industry calls it. Everyone calls it that, but the pipeline companies. You know, I was just watching on YouTube, actually, and there's a new video out on Facebook and stuff that's going out, and it shows that the mainstream media is actually being kept away from this bill right now, and local people and the local independent journalist went up in a helicopter and videotaped it, and the spill is basically all in water. You know, if you look at what the Kalamazoo, Michigan spill was, we know from there that this bitumen dilbit sinks. And so that's a huge concern for me, just looking at the pictures and the video of that just briefly. And that's, you know, what you have there. But then you worry about what the tar sands are doing in Canada to the people downstream from where they get the oil and or the bitumen. And, you know, there's health concerns there. There's going to be health concerns in Arkansas. You know, anywhere there's oil spills, there's always health concerns.
And so what's the situation politically now in Washington? I mean, I guess, let me start with you, May, then we'll go to Marty. I mean, explaining just what happened in Congress with the XXL pipeline vote and where it is now and what our expectations are.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because the process politically does take a little bit of explanation. So right now, The State Department, which is the governmental agency responsible for overseeing decision on Keystone, and then that goes directly to the president, the State Department released its environmental impact statement, which failed to take climate change and environmental impact strongly enough into consideration. And now what's going on is a comment period that ends April the 22nd, that people are interested in submitting comments to the State Department, which we would strongly encourage you to do. You can visit 350.org. We've got a link up there to submit comments. We're working with Marty and others on that effort. The next step is, after that comment period has ended, there's what's called a national interest determination that is really the White House examining the evidence. But here's the thing. You know, the facts have always been on our side on this issue. We can't afford this pipeline. We can't afford the consequences of climate change. We can't afford spills like what happened in Mayflower. But what's going to take us over the edge on this is pressure. And so the Senate vote that happened a couple of weeks ago was a symbolic vote. It was attached to a budget resolution in the Senate. And a lot of Democrats and Republicans signed on basically saying what accounts to, they don't want to take the decision away from the president, but they are tacitly in support of this pipeline. Now, including in that was Arkansas Senator Mark Pryor. I'd really like to know if that's still his position after this weekend.
It would be good to know that. And I think maybe we should give his office a call and ask him that question. I think it has to be answered. I think that because we don't know where this is going to end. I mean, this pipeline could be activated. And I know that right now I was reading an article, Marty, about Native American women who are walking the length of the Mississippi to raise political awareness about the pipeline.
It's all about water. And you know, obviously we need water. We have it on Washington, D.C. Their utility trucks. Says water is life. In South Dakota, you have the Minnewachoni water pipeline that supplies water to Ogallala, Rosebud, and most of southwestern South Dakota. And Minnewachoni needs water is life also. You know, so obviously water is the most important thing we have. And if you continually put oil in it, it's going to be contaminated, regardless of what type of oil it is, if it's regular conventional crude oil to the bitumen. You know, this is something that we all need to worry about. You know, the other thing that we need to worry about is how to transport this stuff. You know, pipelines are obviously not safe. There's obviously spills every day or, you know, well, once a week across the United States, some of them larger, some of them smaller. You know, to railroad, you know, there's a train derailment in northern Minnesota just 2 days, the day before this spill. And the train derailed and put 20 to 30,000 barrels or gallons of oil on the ground, which is raw bitumen, not even built there. So, I mean, there's no safe way to transport this oil, so you might as well just leave it in the ground.
So one of the things, picking up what you just said, Marty, about leaving it in the ground, I mean, there's a disconnect, it seems to me, May. We only have about 2 minutes left here, but with the American public and the struggle, the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press came out with a study today that said that the majority of Americans, a vast majority of Americans, that support the Keystone XL pipeline because they think we need oil. Two-thirds, 66% favor building the pipeline, which would transport oil from Canada, oil sands to New Orleans. So, I mean, and that's pretty stunning. Have you seen that study?
I haven't seen that particular one, but the one I've seen most recently before that was commissioned by Fox News, so I'll let you be the judge about how we can assess the bias in that study. But you raise an important point. I think the American people know that big oil has a really negative effect on our democracy, but what they don't know is necessarily there's another way, and there absolutely is. And there's alternatives to pipelines like this, and there's large majorities of Americans are, in fact, in support of alternative energies. You never hear about a solar spill. When we have too much sunshine, we call it a beautiful day. So this is really a story about President Obama making a choice to go down a traditional path of energy that has terrible consequences, or choosing the future. And I think there's no question that the American people stand behind that. And it feels like this only make that worse. But we have to do work to connect the dots.
Now, Marty, we have less than a minute left. Were you about trying to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at this whole thing and you sit and talk about tar sands and, you know, and the export, 60% of the tar sands rate, or the oil that goes through Houston right now is exported.
Right.
80% of the oil that's going to be going through the Keystone XL, proposed Keystone XL pipeline, is already going overseas. Germany has pulled all the tar sands. Total, the France oil company, has just pulled all the tar sands. Everyone is starting to see this, but it's not good for us. Everyone but the United States, and we're still heavily invested into it. Well, mostly China's invested into it. So it's all going to go overseas. It's not going to help the U.S. at all.
Well, I want to thank both of you once again for joining us, and we'll continue this conversation and bring you both back to kind of look at where this is going and where it's going, so we can talk more with the listeners. May Bouvy, who is the executive director and co-founder of 350.org, and Marty Cabanet, who is an Indigenous Environmental Network's pipeline campaigner from Bemidji, Minnesota. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Mark.
Good to have you all with us. We're going to take a very brief break, and we're going to take a look at the world of sports, the NCAA's men and women's, and baseball open today. Don't go away.